Hey everybody, this is MP with the Everyday Living Podcast, and this is episode one. If you haven't heard it already, I did create an introduction, I guess, sound clip. It's about 2.5-3 minutes long, about what the podcast is going to cover, but just in case you don't feel like going back to listen to that. It's basically going to be talking about three topics in general, typically hitting on two out of the three, every podcast, if not all three. And which the first one is I talk about, you know, tools that you carry or use throughout every single day. It ranges from, you know, I always carry a little flashlight. I always carry some type of a pocket knife in case I needed to cut a string or anything like that. I need to help get some splinters out of my kids' hands, things like that. I talk about my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and how that helps me through every single day. And then I also talk about my family as well. They play a huge role in everything that I do. All three of them do, but specifically my faith and my family part more than anything else. So in this episode today, we're going to talk about, I'm going to start off by what I carried in my pockets yesterday. Because today I really don't have much in my pockets because I've been doing some stuff around the house. But yesterday was Sunday. Today is September 7th, 2020. So it's Labor Day. Yesterday, I guess Labor Day Eve at church, I had two pocket knives. One of them has some like a Swiss Army knife. So it has like multiple things, scissors and things like that on there. And also carried a little flashlight and it's the regular, pocket knife with a little pocket clip on it. But that's what I carried, at church. And I also had a little backpack, a little sling bag that has some little basic first aid stuff like Band-Aids in case my kids slip and fall, some children's Tylenol and allergy stuff like that. But I always try to have some of that stuff on me, if not all of it, every single day when I go out somewhere. If nothing else, I always have a little pocket knife and a flashlight because you never know. We need to, like I said, cut a string. The pocket knife I carry has a little screwdriver, like flathead and Phillips head on the Swiss Army knife. So there, I drive an old truck and every once in a while I got to tighten something up or loosen it or whatever like that. So that's kind of why I always carry things of that nature. And I actually, as far as the everyday carry a tool, I always carry a multi-tool as well. And I could think of three specific instances at church specifically that people have asked for a multi-tool, and I actually had one. A guy I've played in the band with it for a long time, he had to cut the strings on his guitar, like the excess, after putting new strings on. And then he also had to tighten up I think it was a strap connection or something like that for his guitar strap. And then the lady that's in charge of our ushers and greeters, she asked for a multi-tool one day. I'm not really sure why, but she needed the pliers part of it. But it's just, you know, always able to help somebody in need. Something small, but I feel that's an important thing to do, whether it's helping them cutting a string, helping your wife. Heck, I cut my wife's a string off my wife's dress yesterday, right before church actually. A little bit about me. I've been, again, if you haven't listened to the introduction clip, I've been married 14 years and known my wife for 17. It's actually 14 years last month, and this month will be 17 years this year that we still went on our first date, this month, actually, next week. Yeah. Anyway, it's sad. I'm glad I remember that stuff. Maybe one day I might not remember it anymore. But right now I'm still good. But about me, like I said, I'm married, to a wonderful woman. I have two great kids and we homeschool our kids. And we'll talk about that in a later podcast. And hopefully I'll have my wife on here talking about that and what was her decision to go into that, into what was our decision to, and was just hers as both of us, and how we feel is working out for our kids. And let's see, as far as my faith goes, I was saved when I was 6 years old led to the Lord by my dad. And that's been a great journey, occasionally a hard journey, not gonna lie, but it's been a great journey. You know, I'm 40 years old now, so I've had a long time with the Lord in my walk. But you know, I learned a lot of service, how to be a servant to people. You know, I was 12 or 13 years old, I started my, I guess, quote unquote ministry experience. And I would help with backyard Bible clubs is what we called them. Basically a little Bible study that you would have with neighborhood kids in our church neighborhood. We literally walk up to people's doors, which is nowadays is crazy to think about, especially as a parent, but we would, I don't even know if my parents knew we did this, but us middle schoolers and some high schoolers would go knock on door to door in a not so good neighborhood and say, "Hey, can we have a Bible study in your back porch?" And every once in a while we'd have somebody say yes. And we'd go knock on doors looking for kids and, "Hey, you want to come out Bible study?" We had a little, you know, I did a little, some kind of craft and things like that and played a game and did a little Bible lesson with everybody. It was actually pretty fun. But yeah, nowadays it's probably kind of not heard of to do that. It's kind of, I don't remember an adult being with us. So there's all kinds of problems with that right now as an adult looking back. But that's how I started my, I guess, my ministry experience in that. And now, and I'm 40 years old, I'm a deacon in my church. I play in the worship team. I've been doing that for a long time. Yeah, just now I've led vacation Bible schools in different states and sports camps alongside with those vacation Bible schools in Florida, West Virginia, where else have we been? Connecticut, Rhode Island. And I've done a lot of stuff in different local churches here as well. But I've pretty much stayed on the East Coast doing that kind of stuff. And I did most of the stuff while I was in high school during the summertime and just after high school. And then, you know, adulthood kicks in. You don't have all the free time because you get a growing up job, but you still find ways to serve in your local church and different ministries and things like that. But that's, you know, me in a nutshell as far as my ministry experience. And now that I come into play here with this, with my topic today, what I'm wanting to talk about is everyday living as far as building relationships in your Christian walk. The Bible reference that I want to look up is 1 Thessalonians 2, 7 through 12, but I want to focus on verses 7 and 8 today. And probably the next podcast we'll look at the remaining verses. But I was just reading this actually a couple weeks ago before a leadership meeting at church. And we were talking about, you know, just what God's been putting on our hearts. And right now we're in the middle of that, of the COVID-19 pandemic and racial tensions across the country and just constant negativity and angst and just stress, constant stress that's going on in our country. But, you know, my pastor, he asked, you know, what's God been putting on your heart? What's something that he's been pressing on you? And for me, it's about building relationships and spreading the word of who Jesus is, spreading the gospel. And that's something that I've struggled with, not building relationships. Like, I'm kind of an introvert, but spreading the gospel is just something I'm not a confident person in general. So it's always been something, you're putting yourself out there, you know, you're putting yourself out there for ridicule and then all kinds of stuff. So in quote unquote persecution, but building a relationship is huge. And Paul talks about that in 1 Thessalonians 2 in verses 7 and 8. He says, "Although we could have been a burden as Christ's apostles, instead we were gentle among you as a nurse nurtures her own children. We cared so much for you that we were pleased to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our own lives, because you have become dear to us." So it wasn't just about, you know, spreading the gospel for Paul when he was on his mission trip to, was it Thessalonica? I believe it's where the Thessalonians live. Yes, Thessalonica. But it was about building a relationship on top of that and how that was such an important part of spreading the gospel, because you can't just go in and proclaim the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and point your finger at people and tell them you need to get saved especially if you've never been in this area before. But if you go in and you're the boots on the ground, you know, there are some people, they like Billy Graham, he'd go in and create these crusades and things like that. But there's also a lot of legwork that people don't realize that went into the prep work and the advertising and the other churches and the communities coming together to put this thing together. And that's kind of a whole, another level. I mean, it's thousands and thousands of people all in one time in one day. Was it South Korea? I think he had over 1 million people or close to 1 million people at one time. And that's, I've been a part of a million man thing one time. It's back in high school, a Promise Keepers event. We went to the mall, the Capitol building and things like that. I always thought it was weird they called that the mall, because when I was in high school, I'm like, you think of where the stores are. I still understand why they call it the mall. But there was 1 million men there, and you really can't fathom that size of people, that massive amount of people, until you see like an aerial shot of that. But when Billy Graham did that stuff, he came in and he proclaimed for days. He didn't come in for 5 minutes and left. But Paul, he came in and invested personal relationships with these people. I mean, he's probably eating in people's houses, hanging out, helping people with doing things. And they also did not become a burden on the people of Thessalonica, because they provided for themselves. He didn't go in there, well, look, we're going to be here proclaiming the good news of Jesus, but we're going to need y'all to, you know, give us some money or food or something, because we got to sustain ourselves. No, he went in there, they provided for themselves. And I'm sure people made them food and things like that. I'm sure that happened, but out of the goodness of their heart, especially as relationships developed. But that was, to me, the main thing, is that relationship was there. And even Jesus was very about relationships. He had his disciples, specifically the 12, that he poured into day in and day out. And just that relationship, and what I try to picture what it could have been, you know, in the series, The Chosen. It's actually a digital series. You can watch it on your phone, and you can cast it to your, stream it to your phone, to your TV from your phone, and it's free. You can donate to help or whatever. They're actually trying to do season two, but I feel like they do a really good job of showing the relationships being built between Jesus and the disciples. I think we're on episode 3 or 4. We finished episode 3 or 4 last night, my wife and I, and it was, it's just awesome just to see how he meets the disciples where they are, you know. And that's the thing about relationships, is you meet people where they are. You're down in there with them, in their problems, in their trials, in their tribulations, and in their good times. You know, you're there when they get married. You know, Jesus went to a wedding celebration. Those things last 7 days. So he's there fellowshipping and building relationships for 7 days. You know, his mom was there. So, you know, he had to know somebody there. So there was an extension of that relationship that he already had. And then you look at the disciples, and this, I mean, 3 years, you just think every single day, never a day off, probably, you know, they were with Jesus for 3 solid years. Just that, what you'll know about each other, you know. And even still, they're like, you know, I wonder which one of us is going to be the greatest. And Peter's like, hey, John, why don't you ask him who his favorite is? You know, it's like, they still want to know who his boy is, you know. It's just, and you would think by then they would know that he ain't got one. he ain't got a favorite. He, you know, they always say, you know, John was the disciple that Jesus loved. Now, sometimes I wonder if that was a kind of a joke. You know, was it in John, when John and Peter run to the tomb, it says John, the disciple that Jesus loved, passed Peter. It's like just a little dig at him, I think. It's just, you know, that relationship that they had, that, you know, it's just, and I could be reading into that kind of stuff. I don't know. But I mean, just think about, I have a friend of mine. We've literally known each other our entire lives. I'm 6 months older than him. And we have, like, I know for a fact if I needed him, he'd be there. I know he knows the same thing about me. But that relationship that we have, like, I know what he's thinking. Like, if he's going through something or whatever, I have a good idea of how he's going to handle it and what he's thinking and stuff like that. And I know he does the same thing for me. but that's 40 years of life. You know, they had just three, but every single day. I don't see my buddy every single day. I see him sometimes once a month, sometimes twice a month. Now, it used to be every weekend because we used to go to the same church. And then actually before that, we went to the same school. So there's only sometimes only one day a week I wouldn't see him. And this was a holiday or something like that, and that'd be Saturday. But heck, half the time we do stuff on Saturday. I mean, we spent a ton of time together, and I know him very well. And he's like my brother. You know, he really, really is. And that's been a lifetime. And that's so I guess I can kind of imagine what that relationship is. But to seeing Jesus do the things that he did and how he reached people and touched people and how they got to be a part of that and come alongside of them and just build that relationship together. That's what Paul was talking about is so important, is to, because if people can see the difference in you day in and day out compared to what they see their community is like, but they don't see you going through the same struggles or having the same problems and beefs with people or how you deal with problems with other folks is different than what they do, they're going to pay attention to you, especially if your problems go well, if your confrontations go well. Now, it won't always go well because the devil is alive, but they see how you handle things with grace and mercy and patience. That's the fruit of the Spirit. So they're going to know there's a difference. You know, let's say, you know, Phil Robertson's a good example. I listened to their podcast, Unashamed, and he was talking about a few weeks ago or maybe a week ago about how in his testimony that one guy he knew he was a former drinking buddy, and he noticed, and actually I'm sorry, it was John Godwin, he was on there talking on the podcast, and he noticed a friend of his who he used to go drinking with invited him to go to church, and he goes, okay, whatever, I know you're just like everybody else I go drinking with. I drink with him on Saturday, but they go to church on Sunday and they're living like the devil Monday through Saturday. Well, John Godwin noticed this friend of his changed. He went to his house for a dinner one night, and he noticed that he was the same Sunday, and then he was the same again Tuesday night when he was at his house eating dinner. And so he made him pay attention because he knew something was completely different about him. And that's what I'm saying. If you see that change, because you're not going to see that change unless you have a relationship with someone. And no one's going to see the change in you and how you're different unless you get down there and you build a relationship with someone. And it's important. I mean, that sounds like I'm beating a dead horse, and I probably am. It's probably not a good, thing to do on a podcast, but it's so important. You know, our relationship with God and with Jesus, it's a personal relationship. It's an intimate relationship. And so I don't think it's a coincidence that Paul emphasized that early on in the book of Thessalonians, that it's important that they were there for years building those relationships to establish a church in Thessalonica. But you want it to be a relationship that's not just beneficial to you, but beneficial to the people that you're pouring into. But we need to share and experience life together. And that's something we talked about a few weeks ago at our meeting, is how we need to make sure that we do that every day. You know, just whether it's calling a friend, texting them, insta chatting, whatever you got, you know, do that. If you feel the prompting, man, I wonder what, you know, Billy Bob's doing or what Sharon's doing or whoever, shoot them a text, give them a call, send them a message, email, Marco Polo, whatever you got, do it. And it could be something that, hey man, just want to see how you're doing. Hey girl, what's up? How are you? You know, man, if you're doing, sending a woman a message, make sure your wife knows. Same thing, women, if you're sending a guy a message, make sure your husband knows if you're married. That's a whole nother topic. But just be an encouragement to folks. You know, love them like the Lord would love them. You know, be willing to help out like the Lord would be willing to help out. And I think that goes a long way. But I'm going to go ahead and wrap up here for my first episode. And we do have an email now. It's a Gmail account. It's The Everyday Living Podcast @gmail.com, The Everyday Living Podcast @gmail.com. That's kind of long, but I couldn't figure out a shorter way to do it that made sense or that kind of looked good. I'm also on Facebook. Just search, go on Facebook and search the Everyday Living Podcast. And then also on Twitter, same thing, at the Everyday Living Podcast. Might do an Instagram account and post, you know, the tools and things like that that I carry. Hopefully in the next few episodes, I'll have some stories to tell and kind of to share what my life has been like. You know, I've had a good life, a very good life, but there's also been some trials and tribulations, and I'll go into some of those things and how God has used those different times to change, to morph me into who I am now, and how he's used those to grow my walk with him. But y'all have a great day, great evening, morning, whatever it is, whatever time it is you're listening to. And I hope this is some type of an encouragement. Feel free to leave a comment, send a message, email, tweet me, Facebook me, whatever, Instaface, whatever it's called. And do all that stuff to me. Again, the Everyday Living Podcast at gmail.com. And same thing at Twitter, just with the at symbol. And I think that's it. I hope everyone has enjoyed this. I hope you got something out of it. And y'all take care.